Brian Petrie coming weekly, Wednesday takes. Not a gamble when I ramble on my slime balls, we parlay. We just stick to the money, the tickets no funny, the chalk boys get in the bag. Nothing in stage, top in the cage, needed a chin and he lay on the mat. It's Wednesday takes, making Wednesday great. You'll see in MMA, Big Gun Brian, no denying where he Woo! Be and what he say. Word of my cap is we speak facts from start to finish. What's the weight? The value Woo! Boys, we showing love. CGIW is Wednesday takes.
Wednesday takes, baby, coming at ya here, first one of the year. Happy 2023. This is the second time I'm recording this. I got about 8 minutes into the other one and something happened and something crashed. So back up. But anyway, I got the bugs out of the way. Take two. What's up with the what's up? So I'm going to unveil, like it's a big fucking deal, the new logo. If you go to Twitter, you go to Instagram, you've seen the logo. But I'm going to put it up here for you boys. The new intro song, which is absolute fire. We're going to preview some fights. We're going to go over what's going on in the MMA world. Not some good stuff, but we're going to talk about it all. Excited to do this. Excited to do the podcast here. And we got one more week to fights. Your boy can legally bet now. We'll get into all that. But man, I'm excited to be here with you beautiful people. Right off the top, my Cincinnati Bengals played last night, and it was a sold-out crowd. I was not there, but DeMar Hamlin suffered that horrible injury. I'm sure everyone's aware of it now. Crazy fluke. He got all reports hit in the chest, which caused cardiac arrest. Scary, scary situation. I obviously was watching the game, and when I saw him collapse, my initial thought was, oh, that's like an aneurysm seizure. And then when I kept watching it back, and then they needed CPR, and I'm like, man, that might be like a heart thing. Incredible, incredible fucking scary stuff, man. That shook me a little bit for sure. They canceled the game, which is 100% the right thing to do. Got to cancel that game. Zach Taylor, Sean McDermott, they handled it with absolute class. The fans in attendance, I know that's a huge game. They didn't give it through the first quarter. The Bengals came out hot. The fans showed pure class. A lot of them, not a lot of them, some of them went to the hospital, UC Medical Hospital, said some prayers for them. No booing, no anything. The Cincinnati fans really showed some class there, and absolute class all around from everyone. Best wishes, positive thoughts to DeMar Hamlin. Every report we're getting now is that he is sedated, but all his vitals are stable and good. They just have him under, get him rest or whatever. But the brain's okay. Is everything I'm hearing. It might look like, he's going to have a good recovery, and I don't want to speak too soon or whatever, but everyone that has, seen it and everything, this has affected everyone. That's scary. That doesn't happen often in sports. There was a video that came out. Chris Pronger in the NHL got a puck to his chest, and he had the same situation. I know back in like 1971, a guy died in the NFL, but it was very, very scary stuff, man. And so my best wishes go out to DeMar Hamlin. Unbelievable. Tragic thing that we saw last night, but I'm pulling for him and I think it's super dope. My buddy donated his, he seemed like a good guy, really raised his charity was for giving kids and less fortunate kids some toys and stuff like that, which is amazing. And it was like his goal was like $2,500 on GoFundMe. It's now over 5 million, I think, before I got on here, which is incredible. I mean, he seemed like he was doing that in college before he was a pro athlete. So the guy seems like he's a really good dude. So all best wishes to DeMar Hamlin. Freak accident, crazy stuff, but they canceled the game, which they absolutely should. So obviously I want to start the show with that. I'm thinking about that. And that's it there. Because I don't want to keep going down. We talk about it, I don't say prayers because I feel like I'm not an over religious guy. So I feel like it's just ingenuous if I go prayer, it's just what everyone says. So I try to give just positive thoughts. I'm thinking about the guy. Boom. All right. So that is right off the top. We had to get that off, but your boy woke up Sunday morning with some legal betting in Ohio. Man, before we get to that, let me show you the new logo. Okay. So if you've seen Twitter, if you've seen Instagram, by the way, Twitter took my blue check mark away. I paid for that, guys. I changed my profile. I understand it because of all the people going around making fake accounts, paying the $8 and doing stuff. The security measures I get, but I emailed him and I DM or tweeted at him and stuff. And some guy's like, dude, it's going to take like a month. Right. And I was like, I pay $8 for that. It's on Twitter. It's on Instagram. You probably have seen it, but here it is right here. Oh, my hands up. Woo. Love this logo. I know you're probably like, oh, Brian, why are you the face of it? You fucking egotistical son of a bitch. You're right, right? Maybe that could be the case, but this is dope. My guy, Justin Gonzalez, designed this. His Instagram's right here as well. Go give him a follow. Great dude. He's done a couple things, or more than a couple things of some like art and stuff. The guy's an architect, right? He's building buildings. He's building hospitals, or designing them at least, right? He's building museums. You know what I mean? And he has enough time to make these things for me. Super, super cool dude in Vegas. So if you want to party with him in Vegas, you know, I don't know if he parties, but here's his Instagram. Go give him a follow. Great, great guy. So I had to change it up for the new year. I designed my old logo, which was just the podcast. I've been advised, not to get off topic, I'm all over the map here, right? The first take was a little better, but if you guys, you know, I don't want to sound like I'm some big shot, whatever. I'm not. I'm a fucking nobody. Really, you know, everyone knows that. But I get so many DMs on Twitter, on Instagram, of people wanting to help me. And it is flattering, right? And I typically turn people down because it's like, I have no money to pay you. Like, right? I can't have you do something for me for free if you're not getting paid, right? You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to take your time. I'm not a time thief. If I had money to pay you, if I was getting money from this, I'd pay you. But unfortunately, I'm not getting any revenue. We're going to try to change that. But I get a lot of messages where people of, here's what you need to do. Put you in the logo. Get a Patreon. Put the slime ball behind a paywall. This, and this. I mean, I get guys, and like, I'm talking not, I mean, I get some random people who got like 12 followers and, you know, they're trying to help me with good intentions. But I also get some like real big number guys who are in the industry and know how to promote and how to do things are hitting me up telling me this stuff. And so I listened on the logo. I had to put myself in the logo. MMA Takes Podcast. Your boy's in the middle of it, as you see. It is what it is. You know, Matt Steamroller Frivola, who I love, who's a fucking dope dude. He's got those shirts with his face on the back. Those are incredible. So I'm like, you know what? If Frivola can get away with it and put his face on something and it looks fucking dope, maybe I can do something that looks a little or as dope, which Justin did a great job. So it is what it is. I like it. If you don't like it, opinions vary. But, you know, you're wrong. Now, the intro music, my guy, Big Griff. Now, I got a problem. Chirp me in the comments all you want. Your picks suck. You're fat. This and that. Whatever you got. I've heard, you know, whatever. This one guy in the last YouTube, the Wednesday Takes last week, chirped at me about the Wednesday Takes themes. He goes, this fucking guy in this song. Now, I took it as disrespect. Right? I have no idea who the guy. Maybe he is a supporter. Maybe I read it wrong. Big Griff murders it. Okay? So if you don't like that song, I don't like you. You know what I mean? So I had to hit Big Griff up, again to do the Pick'em Pod. Right? So this is what I do. I don't do the recap much anymore. So it's the Wednesday Takes and it's going to be the Pick'em Pod. Obviously, the Pick'em Pod is where the money's at, literally. So I had to get a new intro for that. The other intro I paid $10 for, $5, maybe 10 with a fucking tip. Big Griff last time with the Wednesday Takes was about a year ago or maybe less than a year ago, $60, right? Tipped him 40. He killed it, right? I go back to him to get the Pick'em Pod, $100. Big Griff jumped up $100. My guy is doing it. So without further ado, here's the new Pick'em Pod intro. And I'm so excited because I'm a hip hop fan. And this is just, it's fantastic.
Hey. Pick'em Pod, Big Gun Brian Petrie, giving out the lot. One is mortal, you know it won't miss. Gonna take a shot. Dog lot, that's the underdog. Yeah, they in the hunt. Send them home, that's KO or submission. Yeah, somebody done. Slime ball, yeah, that's the parlay. We gon' make it known. Pick'em Pod from MMA Takes. Yeah, let's get it gone.
That last, yeah, gets me every time. You know what I mean? I'm going to be singing that every time I do the Pick'em Pods with that last, yeah. Woo! Big Griff kills it again. Justin Gonzalez kills it in the logo. Big Griff kills it on that. Let's go back to January 1st. Now, I woke up, went to bed early, woke up early January morning, 5 a.m., right? And I had the idea. I was going to do a video. I sent the picture out where, you know, of my outfit on Sunday morning. But I had, like, ideas of, like, what I want to do to, like, celebrate the I can legally bet now, you know? And nothing really came to mind. Nothing really jumped out at me. So I just like, you know what? Conor McGregor absolutely kills those Twitter voice messages. I'm going to do that in the middle of the night, right? Went to bed, woke up at 5 a.m., half asleep. I remember doing it. I don't remember what I said. I remember my wife waking up and going, who the fuck are you talking to? Went right back to bed. Woke up, heard the voice message. Doesn't sound like me. The fans and the... I had to delete it, right? I'm not a big tweet deleter. I don't like deleting tweets. I've done it in the past. I had to delete that one. It just wasn't what I was going for. A big swing and a miss from your boy. But January 1st is obviously incredible for me. Betting legally is, you know, Ohio. That I thought there was going to be problems. I thought, you know, location issues, whatever it would be, nothing, right? Went to a lot of books. I'm usually a DraftKings guy, one book guy, right? Trying to look for some sponsorships from other books right now. The business side of things, which I'm terrible at, but I'm trying. And so I went DraftKings, BetMGM. Have a problem with FanDuel, so I didn't go FanDuel. I know a lot of people out there like FanDuel. DraftKings, BetMGM. I don't really like Caesars that much, but I went Caesars because they gave a good bonus. PointsBet gave you like $800 or whatever the fuck it was. Betfred, which is what Paycor Stadium, the Bengals Stadium is sponsored by. And then Bet365 are all the apps I have on my phone right now. Incredible bonuses. So I was like, you know what? Instead of waiting until the 14th, instead of waiting 13 days before your boy can place bets, because lines hadn't really been out yet for the fights, besides maybe the main event. I think Gaslam and Imanov was out. But I was like, you know what? Your boy started with betting over-unders in the NFL. MMA and NFL overs-unders what I did. So I was like, you know what? This is free rolls. This is free money. BetMGM had a great, you know, we'll stake you. You keep the take. You know what I mean? And so that's $50 bets. So I went Seahawks, Jets, under. Cash. Easy cash. 43.5, I think it was, or 43. Either way, cash. I mean, come on. Seahawks, Jets, one of the best NFL defenses. You know, come on, right? Easy. Ravens, Steelers, under 35. The 35 was so low, they're begging you. Vegas is like, this is a rat line. Take the over. Be a sharp. Take the over. No. Win under. I've seen those two teams play a billion times. No way Kenny Pickett and Tyler Huntley are putting up 20 apiece or whatever would be math-wise. Under cash. Jacksonville Jaguars, money line, right? Minus 185 money line Jaguars over the Texans. Dog walked them. Cash. I had another over-under as well. Now I can't remember. I had the Bengals, $50 plus one. I'm assuming I'm getting my money back on that. I haven't checked. There was another over-under. I can't remember what it is. Over. Raiders, 49ers. Cash. And the only bet I missed, and I don't know how this fucking misses, this was Chalk City, was Travis Kelce anytime touchdown score. How did that guy get that? He played the Broncos. How did he not get a tutty? So your boys started off pretty well, right? And I'm excited for MMA. I mean, I can't wait. That's my bread and butter. I'm going to bet every fight. I'm gonna become a degenerate. And I fucking love it. Fucking love it, baby. Woo! So I am over the moon. This was my Christmas. Betting from my couch is unbelievable. My boys, me and my boys. My work guys, my brothers from work who I've watched fights with before, we get together, we do things. We work early in the morning. We get off early morning, mid-afternoon, or early morning, late morning, early afternoon is when we get off. Did I say that right? Yeah. So on Friday the 13th, Friday the 13th, we ain't fucking scared. We're going to Hard Rock Casino in Cincinnati. Gorgeous casino. They built a sports book. Looks phenomenal. Going down there for some grub, talking over some fights, talking over some NFL bets, getting leans, hanging out, broing out. I'm excited about that. I want to see the joint. Because my guy Christian goes, when you can legally bet from your couch, you'll never want to go anywhere else to watch fights or do anything like that. And he might be right. I'm a homebody. But But when you got two little fathead kids running around and they're like, dad, do this. Dad, look at this. Dad, I can dance. Dad, look at my drawings. You got the youngest one getting into fucking everything, climbing up shit, right? And you're trying to focus in on fights. You're trying to will your bet to win. You're getting distracted every which way. It's nice to take a little break from that and go watch in a place that's not so distracting with little kids that look exactly like you that are running around acting exactly like you did when you were that younger, that young. What? So shout out Hard Rock Cincinnati. Yeah, if you want to sponsor the pod, go ahead. Yeah. So let's get to what else we got to get to. Okay. Bellator was this weekend. Now, this feels like Brian's complaint show. There's an Instagram follower named Brian. I'm not gonna, whatever. Nice guy, you know, spoils the Bellator show for me. Now, we'll hand up. It is my fault that I didn't know it was on a tape delay. He messaged me, hey, do you have any plays for Bellator? No, I don't. Can't legally bet to the first. Can't bet on the show. Good to watch it, though, because I was excited to watch it. He goes, oh, okay, cool, yeah, you know, blah, blah, blah. So then that was early or whatever, and then the fights were on early Saturday morning, like 5 a.m. or whatever the fuck it was. I did not know that. Okay, hand up on me. I should have known that. He sends me his slip of bets he won. And he goes, oh, yeah, I hit or whatever. And I looked at it. I'm like, fuck, man. Like, in my head, I'm like, oh, well, I know who won now, right? Again, my fault. I should have known. They're in Japan. Should have been tape delayed. I should have known that. But he doubles down and goes, hey, man, what are you just hating? Show me some love from winning. And, you know, I won 12 units or whatever. And I'm like, buddy, you just ruined it for me. I'm sorry. I'm a little bummed that my 8 o'clock plans now just changed because I didn't know it was on tape delay. Hand of God didn't know it was on tape delay. Then I hop onto Twitter and I see my guy, John Morgan, one of the best in the business, having a debate with another fellow Twitter user who was having a civil conversation if this was good or bad for Bellator. John McCarthy got in this conversation with another guy. And again, I am not a Bellator guy. I don't do Bellator picks. I think Bellator is a great organization. I think they have great fighters, but they're not the cream of the crop. To me, it's the UFC. And I know Bellator is technically number two. You can put PFL at number two. But really, in terms of high profile, in terms of track record, in terms of talent, UFC is just heading, even though Bellator's number two, ONE FC, in my opinion, they're really far away from number one, right? They're really far away. So I don't watch Bellator a lot, but I think Bellator has some great fighters. Aaron Pico, AJ McKee, Patchy Mix, the Pitbull brothers, I guess you can throw them in there, even though I'm a little bit of a hater. They got some really good guys. And what Bellator does that what UFC can't do is Bellator takes chances on guys that if they got a shot in the UFC, people will be like, why is this guy getting a fight in the UFC? Right, like Bo Nickel went on the Contender Series. Bo Nickel, one of the most prestigious wrestlers there is, has looked phenomenal in the Contender Series, right? Has a lot of hype behind him. And they're like, this guy's got one fight or whatever it was before, and he fought like a cab driver. Like, why is he here? The UFC will get flack for that. The Bellator guys, they can do that without really people saying anything. They run out to a Dylan Danis. Dylan Danis, you're a great jiu-jitsu guy. You're kind of a polarizing figure. Let's throw you some bags to come fight for us. Pat Downey, great wrestler, transition to jiu-jitsu. Let's have you come over to Bellator with no experience and fight, right? They can get away with that. So I do like that aspect because they can build stars that way. Bobby Lashley, I mean, a lot of pro wrestlers came through that way. That's Scott Coker's method. But I don't watch every Bellator show, if I'm being honest with you. Partly because the production and the way they do things is not my taste. I don't like the announcers. I think John McCarthy is, how do I put this delicately without like trying to offend anybody? John McCartney's dog shit, okay? I don't think he's good in that position, right? I just don't. I'm sorry. Ranello is a legend. People like Ranello. I've never actually been a huge fan of Ranello. I know, come at me, whatever. I like what he's done for Mental Health Advocate and be an advocate for that. But other than that, I think he's just mid, the middest of mids. So I just don't watch it all that much. But I went to watch it Saturday and I obviously watched some of it. AJ McKee's a star. Looked great in the main event. Fought a guy who was very, very slick on the ground and hung with him and looked fucking great. AJ McKee's star. Pitbull won a decision. And it was all decisions too, which was which is kind of weird. John Dodson had a nice knockout on the undercard. And I like the theme. Bellator was risen. A lot of people were like, oh, well, listen, UFC should do that. And I was like, no, because UFC doesn't gain anything from that. I would like to see these Bellator guys come over to the UFC. Now, my biggest thing with Bellator fighters is if you're in Bellator and you're collecting fat paychecks, which you should be, do not come out and say, I'm the best in the world. I'm better than blah, 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 right? It's happened before. It's a bugaboo of mine. You can't be the best in the world in Bellator. You just can't. You might be. You fucking might be. But you can't claim it because you're not in the best organization and you're not fighting the best guys in the world. And I think there are loads of talented guys over in Bellator. I think AJ McKee in the UFC could be very interesting. I think Paxton Mikt in the UFC can be very interesting. The Pitbull brothers in the UFC, well, at least Patricio at 145 can be very interesting. I think there's a lot of interesting matchups, but as a roster of who they're fighting against, the UFC trumps them bar none. And I don't think that's a discussion. There's going to be hipster MMA fans that go, no. Bellator's got, okay, you heard me out. But if you're a Bellator fighter, collect your checks. Benson Henderson went there to retire and he's probably become a multimillionaire. Good for him, right? But don't say you're the best in the world, right? That was Michael Chandler. My biggest problem with Michael Chandler is he was re-signed with Bellator and said, I'm the best in the world. Let me fight someone over there. Let me fight, you know, whoever the champion was at the time, whatever it was. And it's like, no, you had your chance to do that. You decided to take the money. Now, I know there's, you know, if you're AJ McKee, right, for example, the UFC is not offering you 12-12, okay? You're getting 100. Look at Michael Chandler. Michael Chandler's got a fat contract in the UFC. Did Bellator pay more? Maybe. But if you're AJ McKee, this young, this talented, don't waste all your good years in an organization where you're just going to run through everyone besides one fighter, and that's Patricio. You're going to beat everyone else. You know what I mean? So why don't you go to the UFC, maybe take a pay cut, whatever Bellator's paying you, UFC's going to probably not match it with a little bit. So Bellator's paying, let's say, $250,000 a fight, right? UFC's going to come in and say, we're going to be $100,000 for a fight deal. You start proving yourself, that goes up, right? You know, that's what I think. If I'm a fighter, that's what I'm doing. I want to be the best. And not only mention that, if you're in the UFC, that comes with a lot more perks than when you're in Bellator. That's just my opinion. But Bellator did put on a show. Bellator was risen. Was a good idea. Man, I tell you what, that Rizin belt, someone posted on Twitter, like, what's the best belt, right? And I like the UFC's new belt. I know a lot of people are really anti-UFC, but that Rizin belt, man, is fucking fire. I don't know if it's like, just like they're like, if that's what all the belts are, right? I don't watch the promotion as much as I should. The ONE FC belt's pretty cool. It's fucking huge. I don't really like Bellator's belts, but man, that Rizin belt, takes me back to my days when I was a wrestling fan as a kid. I loved the different belts. Each, you know, the belts were, those were it, man. The Intercontinental Championship, the one that Bret Hart wore back in the 90s, that was my favorite belt. And then, like, the Warrior had it and was, like, white or whatever. I'm showing my age, but that Rizin belt is fire. So Bellator had a fight again, put on a nice event. I wish it wasn't tape delayed. And that's what started this whole thing. John said it's great for both promotions because people are talking about it. John Morgan, that is. I think that's true. More people are talking about it for sure because nothing was on. This was a home run for him. But besides the Asian market, which I think all they really care about is when they go over there is the Asian market. I don't know if it resonated too much with the American audience. You know, you're probably not making a ton of money off that, which maybe that wasn't the goal. Maybe it was to get traction. I don't know. I really wish they could find a way it wasn't tape delayed. Now, obviously, it wasn't Bellator's choice to be tape delayed. When you go over to Japan, it was like the UFC. The UFC, when they would go to different places back in the day, they would fight in the mid-afternoon. They would fight early in the morning. I remember waking up at 3 a.m. to watch the China card. A lot of times they don't cater to American audience because they're getting so much audience over there that doesn't really matter, right? I think that's the thing with Bellator. It wasn't Bellator's choice to be on tape delay, but my opinion is it definitely hurts a little bit in America that they were on tape delay, but maybe that's not what they're going for. Maybe they're going for the Asian audience. I don't know. I didn't watch the full event. I just saw some of the fights I wanted to see. Again, you know, good for them, but I'm not a Bellator guy. I'm an MMA guy. I like the LFA. I like watching guys coming up, and if there's a guy like Pat Downey, for example, He fought when I was in Vegas, and he was like a 2,500 favorite, got fucking knocked out. That's a guy I wasn't interested in. Dylan Danis, I was interested in watching fight. Bellator has those guys that I want to see how they do in MMA. It's interesting they signed that, and then UFC can't get away with it for some reason. All right. God damn it. What time is it? 25 minutes. I'm rambling. All right. We got to talk about it, and I'm bummed out. I mean, I'm seriously bummed out. Dana White, the Dana White video, I'm not going to show it. I've seen it twice. That's all I need to see. If you don't know, now you know. He was in Cabo San Lucas on New Year's Eve with his wife. There's video of them getting in some kind of argument. The video cuts, and then it goes back to them, and his wife's like sitting on the balcony with her hands like this, very upset. They obviously were very drunk, according to them. They've made statements. She turns and looks at him, and I guess, you know, whatever was said before that, she was angry at him at least or whatever. She slaps him. He slaps her, tries to slap her again. Don't know if he made contact, but he went after her again. A little bit of a tussle. People broke it up. Video ends. Now, honestly, I get made fun of all the time for being a Dana guy. I like Dana White. I think MMA wouldn't be where it's at without Dana White, without the Fertittas. There's a lot of people to thank, but Dana White is one of them. I know he gets a lot of shit. He's a volatile guy. He's a polarizing figure. And I've said it on this podcast before, I'm a Dana White guy, and people chirp me in the comments. I fully expected to get chirped here because the Dana White haters, which are many, are now kind of celebrating that he fucked up the way he did. And I don't blame him. This is an inexcusable fuck up. I mean, you put your hands on a woman, which is just, I mean, you can't do that. You just can't in any situation. You just fucking can't. And he did. And he has been very vocal about fighters putting their hands on women or anybody putting their hands on women. You can't come back from that. Now, the only credit I will give Dana White, because this is what I like. I like when people take accountability. He came out. His wife made a statement. First off, I've been following MMA, UFC since I was 21 years now. I've never seen his wife. I knew he was married. I'd never seen him before. Now, this surface is crazy. I'm like, oh, that's what his wife looks like. I never had never seen her. I knew her name, I think. But I never seen her, so that was interesting. Anyway, his wife made a statement saying, we've been married for almost 30 years. This never happened, you know, before. We were drunk, and, you know, we're worried about our kids, which, you know, they got three kids. Their kids are seeing that, you know, their parents, that's not good. And Dana went on TMZ, faced it head on. Said, there's no excuse. There's no excuse for this. I'm embarrassed. I'm this and that. So I do like that he's taking it head on. However, what he did is just, man, it's just... It's like a hero. He was like my Superman at one point. I loved Dana White. I really, really did. I was a huge fan. Still am a fan, or was a fan. And this is just, it hurts. It hurts seeing this, you know, because I'm so, like, that's like my one, like, not my one thing, but that's like, you just can't put your hands on a woman, man. You just can't. And then to put myself in his shoes, because no one's perfect, right? There's going to be people that come out there that have probably hit 10 women in their life. And they're going to bag on Dana White. No one's perfect. No one's perfect. You know, she shouldn't have hit him too, but you never lay your hands on a woman. Now, when I was growing up, personal story time, coming up in my late teens or whatever, I dated a girl and for 3 years, right? Throughout high school, we dated for 3 fucking years. That's a long time in high school. And her and I had a pretty volatile relationship, as you do when you're younger. And growing up, I was kind of the roughhouse kid. I would always roughhouse my friends. I always fucking punch them and stuff. A little bit of an anger issue. So I think a lot of people had me painted as this over-aggressive, crazy type guy, which maybe in some sense I was, because there's definitely things that escalated non-female related that escalated that shouldn't have. Well, this girl that I dated for 3 years, we had many drunken nights and many nights where she would just hit me in the face. I mean, just foop, sock me, throw full beer cans at my head. And then most of the time I would just egg it on. I wouldn't hit her, never hit her, but I'd be like, is that all you got? And instead of de-escalating and trying to make things right, I'd antagonize her and let her hit me some more. Like, so I had done some stuff. That's not the right way to handle it, but never once in my drunken haze or whatever, am I ever going to put my hands on this woman? You know, she's half my size. It's, you know, that's just inexcusable. And I remember one time, the first time she did it, I'll never forget, 2004, UC versus UK in fucking the big, it might've been 2005, in the tournament. We're at my buddy's house drinking and boozing. She got mad at me because some girl walked by. I don't fucking know. So we go outside, we're arguing, and she just punches me right in the mouth. First time she ever did it. And I went, what? What the fuck? And I get off the little stoop, and I had just bought my 1989 Nissan Maxima. You heard me right. 2005, just bought a brand new 1989 Nissan Maxima. $1,800, right? The biggest piece of shit you've ever seen on the road. Smelt like gas because there's a hole in the gas tank. Whatever. I walked over to it and I said, what? And I'm losing my mind. I got myself away from her. Punched my side mirror clean off the door. Phew. Hand splits open. I get in the car. I'm drunk off my mind. She's trying to apologize. And I just go. So I've been in this situation, Dana's been. Now, have I been married for 30 years with someone and this? No, of course not. But I've been in a drunken, volatile relationship where I've been hit and you have a choice to hit back or not. And I chose not to. Now, what's the crazy thing is the reason I brought up the whole thing about when I was younger was her and I broke up and she went and had a couple relationships with guys that didn't go well. It was kind of volatile girl. And I remember going to a party and they're saying, hey, she's in the room upset about so-and-so. She's asking for you. So I go over there to, you know, nice guy to console her. She has two friends outside the door and they get in my face and said, if you hit her, we're fucking blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, wait, what the fuck are you talking about? She told us what you did when you guys were dating. And I got accused of it and people probably believed it because of my history of being a little bit hot headed. So I left. Dude, I left. I was so embarrassed. I left. I said, oh my God, people actually think this happened. They actually think I put my hands on this. I mean, she was tiny. And even if she was big, doesn't matter. She's a woman. And I left. I remember, I'll never forget that drive home. Just so my friends are texting me like, where'd you go? And she was calling me like, hey, and I left. I couldn't even confront this. I didn't know what to do. I ran away. Right. So this Dana White thing, again, I've been in the situation and I'm not trying to be holier than now. Like some of these guys that are going to take that opinion and be like, they've never made a mistake in their life, but this is just inexcusable. And it hurts me to my core because Dana White, again, a hero of mine, and this sport wouldn't be it is without him. Now the question is, what happens to him? They're owned by Disney, right? He works for Disney, essentially. Disney's very frowned upon this. A lot of people are speculating that he might get fired. He might get suspended. What I think they should do is have him take a step back from media, because if he comes out on the 14th and the 21st and he starts doing media and you got a journalist ask him the wrong question, he might snap at that, might not handle it good, bad PR optics. You got to pull him back from media, right? You got to let him cool down. You got to say that him and his wife are working through it privately, and you got to do like maybe, even though if he doesn't have an alcohol problem, you got to do some alcohol treatment because booze was involved. That's how you spin it, but I don't know if there's ever a way to come back from putting your hands on your woman. I just don't know if there is. And it breaks my heart to say that. We might see some significant changes in the UFC in the new year. But man, yeah, it hurts my heart. It hurts my heart because I love Dana White. And I know I'm going to get chirped at it. And there's going to be some really mean comments about Dana White, which is everyone's right. Go in the comments and hit that up. But that hurts me. It truly, truly does, guys. I mean, this is no bit. This is painful. And my phone is going up. Yeah. All right. So the last thing before we get to the preview is I got to touch on this because someone just commented. So the MMA lock of the night, Manpreet. The scheme of the night. The Ponzi scheme of the night. I commented on the video, did a Wednesday Takes last week before any of the new information came out. So if you don't know, now you know. Catch up quick. He essentially was running a game on Twitter. People were giving him money via PayPal. And then when it was time for them to win, after so said months, he didn't have the money and said it was a PayPal issue, right? Fake screenshots were involved with his PayPal. He faked screenshot, but he did the math wrong. So people figured that out pretty quick. Pardon me. And then he wouldn't release screenshots after that, said it was a privacy issue when he got called out for fake screenshots, said he's not running, did run, finally released a statement with no more BS on Friday, loaded with BS, never once took accountability. You got to be accountable for your actions, man. Step up to the plate and be accountable. You stole people's money. He never once said that. He basically apologized to his friends who stuck up for him, who are now getting shit, right? And there's one friend in particular that I think deserves the shit talk, right? But he didn't handle it the way I thought he should have handled it. And then he messaged people on Patreon and said, hey, I'm not going to gamble anymore. That's what happened to the winnings. But didn't really say it like that. I forget the exact wording, but basically that's what he said. So he has a gambling issue. But this is what I have a problem with. This is the narcissism that I have a problem with. You steal money, fraud, have a problem with that. You don't take any accountability for your own actions, have a problem with that. You're not responding to anybody else who's coming at you about their said money. One guy's owed $12,000 trying to pay his college tuition. Obviously, that falls into the fraud category. Have a problem with that. The narcissistic psychopath behavior in your no BS little whatever, have a problem with that. You took no accountability. And then on top of it, this fucking guy, and he does have loyal fans. There are some people that have tweeted, let this go, guys. It's not a big deal. Manpreet's a good guy. He'll pay the money back. What? You're missing the point, you fucking bozo. IOU or not, he's a fucking scumbag fraud. You missed the point, right? Defend him. Anybody that defends him in that situation needs to be get after too. Twitter mob, get him. I'll be right behind you at Pitchforks. Fuck those people. This guy stole money from people, right? And didn't take accountability for it. And then the son of a bitch goes, hey, Patreon users, I really think my talent is finding bets and breaking down fights and providing you. So the Patreon moving forward is going to be me non-gambling, but supervising you and telling you what to gamble with. This is the same guy who lost $43,000 of other people's money, but he's going to tell you how to gamble? The guy is in denial that his time is over. He blew whatever he made. I was a supporter of him. I thought I went easy on him last week, right? Because I didn't know the full details. This guy thinks he's coming back from this, right? He had like 400 or 350 Patreon subscribers. It's down like 100 now. I can't believe it's not zero. Who would pay to watch this guy's show when he stole someone's money, lost it, right? And then he's trying to tell you how to spend your money. What? That is insanity. And then again, the guy who's not running, I'm here. I'm not running. Gone. Hasn't been on Twitter in a week now or 5 days, whatever it is. He said, I'm taking a break from whatever. But he sent that message out to his Patreon users. He wouldn't do it to the public. He did it to the guys who thinks you got my back. You're still subscribed to my Patreon. Here's what we're going to do, boys. I'm not going to gamble because I lost all my money, but I'm going to tell you how to gamble so you can lose all your money. Who pays for this? How loyal can someone be? That is nuts to me. That is insanity. I had to get that off my chest because I felt like I went easy with them on him. Baby gloves last week because I didn't know the full information. Now I do. And if you watch me and you're subscribed to his Patreon or you like him and you're giving him the benefit of the doubt, please have a conversation with me. Because you're way too good of a person and you should not be that good of a person. You should give this guy shit. He does not deserve your loyalty because that is crazy. Crazy. Woo! Worked up. All right. We got some fights coming up. Finally, some fights coming up. Alexander Volkanovski versus Islam Makhachev. I want to break this down just a little bit right now for you boys. Real quick, I'm not going to go in depth because I'm saving that for the pick and pop, but goddamn, boys, I'm excited about this fight. This is a super fight. This is a true super fight in February in Australia. I like that Islam's finally going to a different part of the world instead of Abu Dhabi. And Volkanovski, man, this guy's got some gumption. He's got whatever it is, he has it. He is so confident in his skills. And he literally looked at the camera after Islam won and he says, I'm hard to take down. And if you get me down, I'm harder to hold down. Now he said, if he gets me down, everyone panics. I'm not going to panic. I'm going to get to my feet. Then he's going to panic on the feet when they stand up. It's pretty clear as day. Volkanovski is going to be severely undersized, but he has carried heavy weight before being a rugby player. Going to be outsized. Islam's a huge 55er. On top of that, though, but we got a battle of Islam cannot hang on the feet of Volkanovski. He'll get diced up, right? Can Volkanovski stop the takedowns, which no one's really been able to do? The only one that's kind of been, besides when he got knocked out by Adrian Martins, the only one that's been able to do it really is Tsarukyan kind of reversed him a lot and got up from the back. Can Volkanovski do that? I'm so fucking excited to find out. You know what I mean? As a capper, as a guy that breaks down fights, like, I'm very impressed with Islam. I thought Islam would be champion by the end of the year. I was right. He was. I mean, that's not that hard to predict. He was that good. But I'm like, oh, and Islam goes for it too. He doesn't just sit on top. He goes for submissions. I'm fucking so intrigued by this fight, man. It's one of my top fights of the year, and it's in February. We get it right off the get. Woo! Can't wait for that. So I'm not going to go any more into that. I just wanted to share my excitement with you. Hit me in the comments what you think's going to happen. Let's not break down the fight now. We still got over a month. Still got a lot to chew on. But I'm excited. Let's go this weekend. I wish this weekend. A week from this weekend, January 14th, we got Kelvin Gastelum versus Nassourdine Imanov. Full pick'em coming. Want to kind of preview the card. Kelvin Gastelum is on a skid, boys. This dude cannot win a fight lately. Imanov's a guy that I've had my eye on for a little bit. He's only 15 fights in his MMA career. Looked pretty good in the UFC. He's got that one weird loss to Phil Hawes. Other than that, he's looked pretty dynamite, pretty dangerous. Five-round fight. Both guys have slowed down before in five rounds. I mean, what do we got? What do we got in that main event? Poliana Soriano versus Puna. Soriano versus Roman Kopylov. That's just a banger. Two guys are going to be standing up, banging it out. Kopylov is a little bit more of a crispy kickboxer. Puna likes to take your fucking head off with some fucking big shots. Danny Ige versus Damon Jackson, super underrated fight. Very curious about that fight. Damon Jackson is on a tear, 5-6 fight winning streak, whatever it is, and Ige's fought the best in the world. Is on like a 3-fight losing streak. Damon Jackson getting a huge step up. Really interesting how that fight goes. Jimmy Flick versus Charles Johnson. This got brought to my attention on Twitter before I hopped on here. This apparently is showing some betting irregularities. I can't say that fucking word. The betting's all over the place. Charles Johnson opened as a small favorite. Now he's like minus 500. It is a few weeks out or a week out. This isn't a few hours before a fight. So I don't know how crazy it is. Maybe someone just made a really large bet. I don't know if it's really jumping out to me or not. Jimmy Flick retired. Now he's coming back. You know, is this a money grab? What are we doing here? Charles Johnson's a very good fighter. So I'm not overly concerned, but maybe I should be because of the state of the fraud that's happening in MMA. Alan Nascimento versus Carlos Hernandez. I have no opinion right now. Caitlin Vera versus Raquel Pennington. That's going to be a fun fight. I always underestimate Rocky. Going to give her a hard look here. Caitlin Vera is on a nice little roll here. Daniel Argueleta versus Isaac Duglarian. Dan obviously was on the Ultimate Fighter, came to the UFC, lost to Damon Jackson. Don't know much about Isaac. I believe he fought on the Contender Series, if I remember correctly. He fought on the Contender Series. Wrong. Nope, never fought on the Contender Series. God damn it, Brian. Umar Nurmagomedov versus Hani Barcelos. Banger of a fight. Abdulrazak Al-Hassan versus Claudio Ribeiro. Claudio Ribeiro looked pretty good on the Contender Series. Won by knockout early on, but I remember looking up his fights before that. You know, he's not fighting stiff competition out there, but he has looked pretty sharp in his hands. Abdulrazak Al-Hassan is a banger as well. How do you spell his name? Here we go. Oh, here we go. That's a weird. Okay. Matheus Mendonca, 10-0. Believe Contender Series guy. Yes. Looked okay. He's fighting my guy, Javed Basharat. I can tell you right now, bet Basharat. Probably a huge favorite though, unfortunately. Catch a beating, catch a rail. Shout out Paul Shags versus Shajar Eubanks. That should be kind of fun. And then Matheus Rebecki versus Nick Flor. Nick Flor or Fior, who's his manager, right? Tapology should say who his manager is because head coach Tyson Chartier. So maybe Tyson is his manager. I need that guy to be my manager. How the fuck is that guy in the UFC? How the fuck is that guy in the UFC? Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he's very good, but the people he has fought are not good. His record and what I've seen on tape so far is not that great. Whoever his manager is, hit me up because I need to make some deals and I'm not a good businessman. All right? So that's January 14th. Full pick'em next week. Probably no Wednesday take next week because we'll just concentrate on the pick'em. I got some new things planned with the editing and stuff. It's going to look good. Not going to go live. I do plan on going live more this year. I feel like now that, you know, people know who I am, thank you to John and Kenny Florian, the live shows have been really fun. And I'm obviously going to try to get Christian and Timbo back, do live show. Maybe we're going to mix it up a little bit. Maybe we won't just do pick'ems live. Maybe we'll just come on and talk about our best bets on like a Friday. Friday always seems like a blank night where there's no football on. There's no, you know, there's basketball on probably, but there's no really anything on Friday nights. Maybe some low level MMA, but maybe throw a Friday night show on there. Get you ready for Saturday. Give you our best bets, whatever the case may be. Instead of just doing, we'll mix it up this year is what I'm trying to say. That's it. That's the show. Brian Peach MMA on Twitter, on Instagram. Go follow me. How do you like that? And that's it. I think that's fucking it. Let's go. Let's make some picks with our man Brian Peach. Perfect week for Brian Peach yet again. Motherfuckers. Let's make some picks with our man Brian Peach.